Aloha.
Welcome. We are back from theballerlifestyle.com. It's the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. My name is Brian Beckner. Thank you for joining the show. Episode 331 of the program. Very, very stoked to have you in the mix. If you would like to reach out, please do so via the email address, mailbag@theballerlifestyle.com. You can also send us a voicemail, 949-464-TBLS is the voicemail number. Somebody, good friend of the show, LSU Lala, is a very good contributor to the show, mentioned to me today on Twitter, where you should be following me at Brian Beckner. He mentioned to me, hey, didn't you say something about a Red Circle episode that you guys had done last week? And I was like, yeah, I did. And he's like, when's that coming out? And I was like, oh, right now. So, we recorded a bonus subscriber exclusive pod last week, and I fucking completely spaced and forgot to put it up. So it'll be up. If you're hearing this, it's up. If you're a Red Circle subscriber, you can go to your Red Circle feed and listen to it right now. If you're not a Red Circle subscriber, just go to the episode notes of the app, your Apple iTunes or your Apple Podcasts or whatever, Google Play. It's mostly Apple Podcasts, let's be honest. And look in the episode notes and you can just click a link and subscribe to the podcast there. Also, I'm interested to know, those of you that are exclusive subscribers, do the Red Circle shows show up in your regular feed, or is there a separate regular feed, or do you get an email? Like, how do you know that there's a show there to listen to? You don't, because you're supposed to know. I don't know. Let me know. Reach out, mailbag@theballerlifestyle.com, or you could just hit me on Twitter, because I don't subscribe. I guess I could pay the $5. I guess I could pay the $5 to subscribe to our own show to figure out how it looks, but it's a work in progress. I appreciate everybody's patience, and I appreciate everybody that subscribes and makes a point to go and listen to the bonus shows that we put up there, even though sometimes I forget to do that, but we're making them. Redcircle.com, The Baller Lifestyle. I am joined now, as I am every single week, by Mr. Ed Daly, author of Heroes and Jerks, available now on Amazon. Ed, what's up?
Hey, it is, you know, when you're a kid or a young adult, yeah, and like you don't really ever think about or really almost never get punished by the consequences of your actions. I go for a pretty long bike ride every day, every morning. And today I got a later start of it. I had some shit to do, and I went out, and the heat index is like 104 today.
That's pretty high, because you guys got the humidity.
Yeah, and it's fucking bad. And like, I would never think about the consequences of that, you know, until maybe, I don't know, 35 or so. But today, when I finished my ride, I was like, my God, I feel like I'm kind of toeing the line of death right now.
Yeah.
I felt that bad, and I realized I got to be smarter about this shit. Like, I got a late start, which means I can't go until the evening. I think I finished my ride at like 11:30 in the morning, and it's too hot. It was brutal by the time I finished.
It's no, it's really a factor. It's exponentially more difficult to do vigorous exercise when it's hot outside.
But when you're
really
22,
more,
like, yeah, it sucks, but then it's like, whatever. But as I think I said to Michelle, I was like, it would be sad and shocking, but if you read in the paper, oh, guy in his mid-40s died of heat stroke because he was out exercising, you wouldn't be like floored by it. Be like, yeah, you probably can't exercise in the middle of the day.
Yeah. I remember I was running a lot, and I was running like I was not, you know, I'm not like fucking who's I was. I thought I could come up with an Ethiopian marathoner off the top of my head, but I wasn't.
Yeah, I don't have that. I don't have them right off the tip of my tongue.
I'm not him. I'm not Sergey Bubka. I'm not one of my favorites. One of my favorite guys to bring up, Sergey Bubka. But I was like running regularly, you know, I was running like 3 or 4 miles every couple days, you know, sometimes 5 or 6 on a big day, like every few days or every other day or whatever. And then I was in the desert. I was in Palm Springs and it was still pretty early. It was probably like 9 a.m. and it was like 90 degrees. And I'm like, oh, I'll just go do my regular run. And then I went out and I was fucking gassed out of my fucking head, maybe like less than a mile in, like half a mile in. I was like, oh my God, I could die out here. What was I thinking? This was a bad idea. And it's just because it's hotter. I also used to do the hot yoga in the Bikram.
Yeah, they get that hot.
Yeah, it's like 105.
You ever read about the Bikram dude?
Oh yeah, he's problematic.
Whoa. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he was doing what everybody kind of thought this guy was up to. Yeah. He was up to.
Yeah. He also didn't make up Bikram.
That was his thing.
It was his thing, but it's like people are like, actually, people were doing that. So it's not to get too in the weeds here. You should definitely watch the documentary. I believe it's on Netflix about Bikram. He's a real piece of shit. He's a rapist. And he's one of these dudes that was like, I pioneered this style of yoga. Well, it's a sequence of 26 poses that, like, he didn't invent the yoga poses, right? They're ancient. But he's like, I came up with the idea to do them in this sequence, and I came up with the idea to crank up the heat. And people are like, actually, no, like, lots of people were doing this before you. It's just he was really good at marketing it and also doing rapes. But when I would go to the Bikram, it's so taxing. It is such a mental mind fuck. Right. You're like, there's no way I can continue in this room. I have to get out of this room. And they don't let you leave. And, you know, it was like not every class that somebody would puke, but I would say like every third class, if somebody was kind of newer, they would just let it go.
Exercise and weight loss. It's or like my Bikram or like my bike ride today. It's like, yeah, but I was weak for like 3 hours after that bike ride today. So it probably was detrimental to my health. You know what I mean? Like,
oh yeah.
It's one thing pushing yourself. I mean, that's, you know, the point of exercise, elevating the heart rate and all this, but like I made myself worse today doing it. And I don't know. I finally had that revelation. You know what? I need to be maybe a little bit smarter about myself because I could have keeled over today. Yeah, it was bad.
First of all, what kind of bike you got? Like, what's your setup? What are you running? Like, how's it go? Draw us a picture.
Well, you know what? For the longest time.
Yeah.
The longest time. I mean, eventually money figures out ways to maximize money. So for the longest time, I couldn't go for a long bike ride around here. I had to go for runs because you're zigzagging through traffic.
Too many cars, but too many people.
Enough money built enough complexes like to the towns north of me along the water. There is a nice path on the other side, you know, the Hudson River. It's Manhattan, then the river, and then it's Hoboken and towns touching Hoboken.
Right.
Now there's a connecting maybe I go for probably 15-mile ride.
Wow.
Something like that. Not like crazy, you know, Ironman shit, but like but I can go for like a good, you know, I can go hard on a straightaway path that there's some occasional people.
Yeah.
But I should have noticed when there were no people out today and it was just me riding. I was like, this is great.
Yeah.
But I, you know, I don't have any, I'm not like technical bike. Like I have a road bike, like some
roadie
bike I got for a triathlon, you know, years ago. Not like a beach cruiser. It's some sort of road bike, but it's nothing special.
You're hunched over though when you ride it. It's a road bike, proper road bike. Yeah. but you're not, you don't do the spandex and everything.
No, I mesh shorts and a t-shirt.
You got the shoes. You clip in.
No, but you know what? I feel very douchey, and I wear and that's not helping either. I wear a bandana when I do it
over your face.
Yeah,
yeah, that's okay.
But I do wear a helmet because I've known two people that have had horrible injuries. One guy I used to work with, quadriplegic.
Oh my god.
From a bike injury, and another guy, has like a super spotty memory after a bike injury. So I wear a helmet.
Of course you wear a helmet. You have to wear a helmet.
But I feel like a turd I've worn it every day for years when I ride, but I do feel like a complete douche wearing it. It's a weird accessory.
No, it will save your life.
It's my own problem that I feel awkward, but I never skip it to look cool.
People die on bikes every day. It's actually a major problem. People getting killed on bicycles.
But bike helmets, like they look bad. I wear it every day. I'm not saying that I'm thinking about, oh well, it'll be cooler if I didn't. Yeah. But it's an accessory I don't enjoy wearing.
Do you have like the visor kind? Do you have the kind with like all the slits in it? The vented one? The
shittiest. Like whatever. When I got the bike, I got a helmet that day. So the thing is 12 years old. It's a shell of a helmet. Whatever.
No judgment. No judgment on.
I used to go for runs. Maybe my final run. To your point about running in the desert, when I went on my Eat, Pray, Love trip to New Orleans by myself,
yeah,
I just went up for a run there around Lake Pontchartrain, not all the way around or something, but like, yeah, I'll just go for a waterfront run. And New Orleans, it's the humidity is like worse than Vietnam.
Oh, yeah.
And I needed like a mile there.
Also, a lot of Vietnamese there. Interesting that you say that. Yeah, there's a lot of Vietnamese in Louisiana.
But same as you. Like, I got maybe a mile, and I had to bail on the run.
Oh, yeah. Well, anywhere you live and where they have to describe the temperature by the heat index, it's too fucking hot there. It gets too humid where you live.
Yeah, like, today, I think the temperature was technically 95, which is not pleasant. And then with the humidity, 104 here.
Yeah.
It was not good.
The humidity and... You know, my hair.
Oh, yeah. You got to keep the lettuce looking sharp.
Yeah, it just doesn't. It gets real bad, frizzy. It's R.I.P. Regis Philbin.
You know what's weird is I watched Millionaire, but I never watched his morning show.
Yeah.
But he's one of those guys I was really like, I guess retroactively, I was always pleased that he was there.
Totally. You know what I mean?
Like,
yes.
Like, I enjoyed him being a presence of mostly a showbiz career I never really paid attention to.
He's an institution.
I guess on Letterman, but he was just a pleasant, positive guy that it was. I found myself a little sadder about his death than I would have expected to be.
Yeah. I mean, he had a good run. He was 88.
But he got famous late, right? I mean,
I think in his 50s. Yeah. But I think. I read somewhere that he holds the record for like most hours on TV or something.
I mean, when that Millionaire show took off.
Oh yeah.
That was crazy how popular it was.
I wanted to play but the clip's too long. I wanted to play when he talked Norm Macdonald out of the $1 million answer.
Oh yeah. Cause Norm was like, fuck it. And would have gotten it.
Yeah, because Norm's a gambler and he had it right. And
that is a pretty good one.
And Regis kept being like, are you sure? Like, are you sure it's $1 million? You know, like he just kept like going back and forth. And then you could tell Norm's like, fuck, I don't want to fuck over my charity. Like, this guy must know. This guy must know the answer because he keeps asking me over and over again. And it's like Jeopardy, you know, like. Your first really answer is always right.
He was good at playing it like he sort of knew, but maybe he didn't know.
No,
he was a good host.
He was really good. And even the that morning show that he, I think, got forced out of, which is kind of bullshit, with my future third wife, Kelly Ripa. He was like, he was so good at that. And it's so hard that's so hard to do what they do, where they just sit there and bullshit and you're like, you think, oh, they're just having a conversation. No way, dude. Like, that is, you don't know how fucking quickly you run out of shit to say when they're just like, hey, fill time. And this guy could fucking talk. He could interview. He was really, really talented. And he made it look very easy to host a show like that when it most certainly is not easy to do.
Yeah.
Ask Magic Johnson.
He was the Magic Hour.
That was a tough.
Well, apparently, yeah, I mean, we'll talk about him tonight. But apparently, Chevy Chase thought it was no big deal. I'll just wing it. When he did that Chevy Chase show.
In retrospect, Chevy Chase winged it all. His whole.
I got a lot to say about him.
Me too. Because, well, we'll get into it. We will get into it, but I just. We were fed a bill of goods. That's all I'll say. That's all I'll say. We'll get more into it in a minute. Let's do anything else. Oh, wait, hold on. How do you feel about like we all know that, NBA players like really need to fuck like more than most people.
Oh, I saw this story.
Yeah. And so they're like, hey, We've got to finish the season. There's a lot of TV money on the table. Plus, it would just be good for the country, I think. There is like a sort of an altruistic thing to it. And the guys.
And it actually is a great thing. My Knicks are not part of the plans, but it's better. There's only 22 teams participating, which any given year should be like somebody should look at the rosters and just be able to say, yeah, you guys, nobody needs to see you play this year.
I've been saying this forever. Start the season with the playoffs. Just be like, sorry, Phillies, it's not your year. You just kind of know who's going to – in the NFL, yeah, there's always that –
you're no good. Yeah. Sorry, you can't play this
year. Just the seasons are so long anyway. Like, just play a tournament. Play a tournament every year. Hockey, same thing. There's too many games. The season's too fucking long. Just let's start like – do like a short season or some type of tournament thing and then just get the playoffs going.
Well, baseball thought they had a short season, but it was not short enough.
No, they didn't. They needed baseball. It's going to be. It's unlikely that we're going to crown a World Series champion. You got to do the bubble thing. Bubble. Yeah, they should have done the Arizona thing. Yeah. Or, well, you also had my thing. Nobody listened to me. Just have two full rosters. So now like the Marlins, the entire Marlins is tested positive for COVID or like most of the team. But if you had set aside quarantined, if you will, an entire
like scabs.
Yeah. An entire, no, your AAA guys, they're not playing anyway. Have your AAA AA guys there, but like somewhere away where they never commingle with the actual players. And then so now you send out, so the Marlins are like, oh, we're not playing any games, sorry, no Marlins. And which, like, who cares? Like, that's one of the teams we would cancel anyway. But what you could do is bring in the other 30 guys that you have, play the games with them, and as the real Marlins get healthy, you start feeding them back into the mix. And it's, you never slow down, because they're not the only team that this is going to happen to. Like, this is going to happen a lot.
I saw somebody with the theory, well, Florida's not taking it seriously, and they're nuts if they think this is a Florida issue. Yeah. I mean, come on.
It's a countrywide issue. But the NBA players, they're in a bubble in Orlando, the worst city on the planet. And they're like, but they're like buying in. But when they went in, everyone's like, I mean, these guys really like to fuck. It could be a problem. And then other people are like, no, they're professionals. Like, they'll be fine. And then other people are like, no, what they're going to do is they're going to bring the pussy with them so that they can do the fucking's already set up. Well, it's none of those things happened. And now guys are making up excuses where they're like, I got a funeral to go to. Like this, like when you would have that dentist appointment in high school, you know, or you're like working a job and you want to take a long weekend and you're pretty low on the totem pole. And then you got, oh, my mother-in-law. Well,
how many grandparents do I have that can die?
Right. I believe Larry David lost a stepfather one time. Like, it is something you do. And Lou Williams, he's the first, and he will not be the last violator of this, but he bounced out to a funeral. I think he lost a grandpa, but then was photographed at Magic City, a strip club in Atlanta, at which he has an item on the menu named after him, and he's many times declared it to be his favorite restaurant.
I saw maybe the person in the picture with him or something, they said, oh, that's an old picture. And then somebody pointed out, no, he's got something from the NBA restart on him. Yeah. Like a mask tucked in. It was crystal clear this picture took place this week.
I love that shit. You photoshopped it. No, they photoshopped it. So he's got to do a 10-day quarantine before he can get back in the league. And I just feel like he's not the only guy that's going to have an issue with this. I just feel like it's really hard when you're really used to something that feels really good, and then you're specifically forbidden from doing that thing. And it's just like so part of your routine to just tag randos left and right that it's as soon as you can't, it's an issue. And guys are going to be, they're already complaining about the food, the accommodations, and it's like it might be more difficult to finish the NBA season with no positive tests than the baseball season with positive tests happening every single day.
And surprisingly, the Premier League was able to finish a season, but there was one guy I remember reading, one guy on Manchester City that I think on TikTok, he was seen with two hookers brought into their bubble. Yeah. Like, these are athletes. This is a big percentage of these athletes. Yes. This is what they're doing.
Yeah. It's what they're doing. It's easy for them. That's the thing. What else? Johnny Depp, a lot of people reaching out to us about Johnny Depp, Ed, and there's a lot going on because he's in a, he's suing. And I actually support him in this because he's saying, hey, my ex-wife said a bunch of shit about me that's not true. And a lot of times people will say that and then they won't act on it. And he's like, fuck that. And he's suing her for libel in London, where I believe the libel laws are pretty punitive.
Like, is this a divorce settlement or this is just libel?
It's libel. So they were divorced, and then after they were divorced, she said a bunch of shit about him that went into the press, and he's like, that he was an abuser, a spousal abuser. And he's like, fuck that. Like, I never abused you. And he's like, more the other way around. And so now they're going back and forth, and there's been a lot of developments there, not least of which, and if true, I think there should be criminal charges filed, because in the case, Johnny Depp alleged that Amber Heard left, forgive me, feces in his bed. She produced feces in his bed and as some sort of a prank. And I'll just read the story. Johnny was so revolted by, excuse me, sorry guys, feces left in his bed that he wanted to have a DNA test done on it to identify the, I'll just say, maker. A UK court was told Wednesday, despite laughing off the vile incident and nicknaming his wife Amber Heard Amber Turd because of it, Depp, 57, was sullen and disgusted when first told it had been found in his bed. His property manager, Kevin Murphy, told him, at that stage, I believe he suggested getting the feces DNA tested to see where they had, they, is feces plural, it, I would say, where they had come from. I just want to see, is she denying it? Oh, yeah, Heard, who on Tuesday denied being behind the feces stunt. But I think it's not. I think it's like a wink, wink. I deny it. Listen. He soon started insisting. Okay, it was not immediately clear when or why Depp dropped the plan to test it. He soon started insisting he found the stunt amusing, however, with a series of jokes and texts he sent being read in court. Quote, my wife left a Whopper poop on my bed. Amber turd, he wrote in one, while in another he said, I've been through a whole lot of shit with her. Now, I've made clear. Johnny Depp joins us now. Johnny, can you shed light on the story? What happened?
It's kind of a, I want to laugh to keep from crying, but maybe she was feeling down in the dumps.
Oh, nice. And, yes.
You know, in the game of life, maybe she rolled craps. You know what day of the week it was? Saturday. See, I'm trying to make light of a very dark brown situation, if you will.
You've been through so much, Johnny, not least of which this disgusting, vile attack by your wife, but also it's my understanding that you believe that Amber Heard was unfaithful to you.
That's right.
With that South African Asperger's, likely on the spectrum, we'll say.
Genius. I found some plugs, remember?
Oh, that's right. That's right. He left some plugs around the house. And now it's my understanding that Elon Musk, while he denies your allegations that he Sancho'd you, he cuckolded you. He said, hey, let's get in the cage and fight. Your thoughts? Would you be willing to go mano a mano in a UFC style fight with Elon Musk?
Well, let me just say that Elon Musk is in a world of trouble. You know, he's just, as I said, he's a nerd with plugs.
That's true.
I am a man who has lived a life.
Yes.
Bon vide. I was a pirate. I was an undercover agent. I even played Hunter S. Thompson.
But, I mean, you weren't you're an actor. Like, you just played those guys. You're not you weren't actually.
Well, there were some very dangerous times with Doug Penhall and Harry Aoki. We found ourselves in many a pickle. And, I also can withstand pain. I have a thirst for blood. Right. I when I was playing Hunter S. Thompson, yes. He one time gave me a hash brownie that also was laced with PCP and peyote.
Whoa. Triple threat.
I woke up covered in blood and $12,000 in my pocket, so I'm guessing I murdered someone.
Yeah, that's a likely.
I don't know. I had blood all over me and $12,000 in my pocket.
Unbelievable. Yeah. So you would, given the chance, what if they allowed you each to bring one weapon into the cage? Now, we can assume that Elon Musk would bring that blowtorch that he invented. I mean, there's so many ways you can go. You could bring your pirate sword, right? Your scabbard and your sword, or maybe a scarf.
I can choke a bitch with a scarf inside of 14 seconds. You know, in those old timey movies where they quickly tie a bunch of sheets together to get outside the window. Well, yes. I can tie all 14,000 of my scarves together and create quite the noose for Mr. Musk.
Wow. Wow. I would bet on you. I think Musk might be a little bit bigger than you, but I don't think he's as hardy. He's a nerd.
Yeah,
he's a huge nerd.
Life. Yeah. I was an undercover cop for years.
Yes, you were. Well, no, I mean, you're acting as an undercover cop. You weren't actually.
Sometimes I was a real cop. You ever see that movie In the Nick of Time? I was a cop.
You're Johnny Depp. You're acting.
I'm a chameleon. I'm a lizard.
What about
you ever see the child's movie Rango?
Yeah, I did.
I was a lizard.
Yeah, you were a lizard in that one. What about when you played Tonto, the Indian, alongside
and Hal? Yes,
I believe you're
I played with Armin Hammer.
Right. Armie Hammer. Were you stunned at all, Johnny Depp, to learn that Armie Hammer was not 47 years old and was actually like in his 20s when you guys made that movie together? Was that weird to you? Because it stuns me every day.
I actually just found out at the rap party that I wasn't in the movie with the Winklevi. I thought I was really playing a role with one of the Winklevoss twins.
That would have been better. The Winklevi. Maybe when this situation is over with Amber Heard, you could put something together and do a project with the Winklevi. One last question. I want to get your reaction. Amber Heard alleges that prior to you filming your portion, your interview portion of the Keith Richards documentary, I believe you also read, I listened to a little bit of Keith Richards audiobook, and I believe you read a bit of Keith Richards audiobook, but before you arrived to do your work on the Keith Richards documentary, you had been on a 24-hour cocaine and whiskey bender. Is there any truth to those allegations?
Well, if there's one thing I've learned about the world of cinema is you need to keep it free and loose and highly charged. And I drew most of my motivation and inspiration from a formidable actor of my youth. That would be Herbie the Love Bug. When I was a kid, I believe it was during Herbie Goes Bananas when he was outwitting Harvey Korman, I saw a lot of shiftiness, and I tried to recreate that for the Keith Richards autobiography.
But that's Herbie the Love Bug is a Volkswagen. It's just it's an inanimate object.
You see that thing shift around, and you just want to harness that energy. And for me, that came in the form of insouciance and cocaine. Yeah. That's how I got it done.
Wow, amazing. Well, method actor. Well, Johnny Depp, thank you for joining us. We'll be following your trial closely, hoping that things work out in your favor.
Yeah, hopefully Amber doesn't crap out on the witness stand.
We'll leave it at that. Thank you, Johnny Depp. Let's do some voicemails.
Let's do it.
He's so easy to hate. Your time he likes to waste. His calls are far from great. His calls are far from great. He's such a stupid fuck. He seems down on his luck. His voicemails really suck. His voicemails really suck. No one's enjoying him. He's so annoying. Plus so fucking boring. And worthless, but he's got nothing else to do. And he's even worse than ish. His thoughts are useless shit. He's fat and got big tits.
Ed, I'm not sure if you heard that. Johnny Depp just joined us. I think the Skype dropped out for a minute.
Yeah, I'm having Skype issues.
I feel like you would have had some good questions for him. Is it wrong of me to be taking a small bit of delight in the possible me tooing of Ellen?
I only saw a headline that people were looking into her behavior on set.
Yeah.
I think I talked about this with my book, because I had to write about, I mean, she was very important in her sitcom, absolutely, coming in and stuff.
Yeah.
But it stunk to write about it because I've never heard a positive story.
No.
I mean, I don't, you know, I'm not that connected to famous people, but like, I do know of a few people from commercial shoots with her, and I've never heard a good story about her.
I've only heard
she's really shitty.
She's really awful. I've heard she's a really shitty boss. I heard, you know, you're not allowed to look her in the eye. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, not just like, oh, okay, she has high demands, like punitive on people.
Oh yeah. I heard of a guy that had to miss one day of work to fly to a relative's funeral. And when he returned the next day, he was handed a pink slip.
Jesus.
I've also heard that she claims to have a very sensitive nose. So before you go into her office to talk to her, you have to chew a certain kind of gum that she places outside of the door.
Isn't it weird that people get to that point?
Yeah, it's great. Imagine being that rich. And I always feel kind of bad for that Portia de Rossi. She seems like she is being held against her will. So I've always gotten that vibe from her.
Yeah, I mean, I was a big, big fan from the Arrested Development.
She's very good on that show. She's very good.
She was beautiful, but she was a terrific.
Funny.
She had great comedic timing.
Very funny.
She's great. And then I don't think does she work or?
I don't think she's allowed to. I don't think she's allowed to. Look, Portia, not your real name, I happen to know.
Oh.
I've sworn off Aussies. But I could make an exception in this case. If you need a place to lay low, I guarantee you.
You better hope this couch invite doesn't.
Yes.
Doesn't
come back.
They don't all come in at the same time.
Oh, that's well. That's. I mean, Lori.
We got a bunch.
I mean, Lori Loughlin, Aunt Becky,
pop singer,
Kylie Minogue.
Oh, no, they're not Aussie.
Kesha.
She might have been from Jersey. She hosted SNL.
Oh.
I don't really know her.
Hold on. Lady Gaga?
No.
Halsey.
Halsey.
Well, I was
she got an invite.
Did she really?
I remember her getting an
invite. I feel like she needs it.
I mean, this was in different company. There were different things going on.
Right. I don't think she needs it. Lori Loughlin, of course, has a standing invitation. She's always.
Today's her birthday, by the way.
Is it? How? Let me guess. Hold on.
I'd have to go back.
What's his age? I can't explain. He was young back when he did that thing. Still alive, and I don't.
Beautiful song by our good friend and Peyronie survivor Chuck Spear. I can't remember his handle. Airstrike.
Snowjet
SST.
A good man.
Okay, I'm gonna go ahead and guess Lori Loughlin. I mean, this is an educated guess. I would say she is roughly 53 years old today. And I mean, 53 these days is the new, we'll talk about that in this movie because there's a lot of how fucking old is this guy's in this movie. 53 is like the new 39 these days because she looks amazing. Lori Loughlin, 53 years old.
56 today.
Wow.
56 today, exactly 5 years older than Dana White.
Wow.
And hockey goalie Garth Snow.
Garth Snow, right. I remember him.
69.
Wow.
And Dana White is 69.
Wow. Unbelievable. Okay. Well, Lori Loughlin, she's got a standing invite. And Portia, if you want to come over and reintroduce yourself to the touch of a man.
Oh.
You come by my place.
Hey, with Lori Loughlin,
I'll keep you safe.
Did she go to jail?
No, but I think you know what I think they did is they snuck in a COVID plea. I think at the last minute, they're like, hey, it's COVID. They're definitely not putting celebrities in jail where COVID's running rampant. They only do that for poor people.
Even Michael Cohen got out for COVID.
Right. They're like, this is the time to plead. So I think they pled, but I don't believe they've been. How are we with pled pleaded? Because I like to say pled. Pled sounds right to me,
right,
but
there
it's
with you.
Pleaded is what you always read and hear.
But I don't remember what context in my book, but I kept wanting to say pled. And then I looked it up saying, cause I was reading pleaded, but both are correct.
Both are, it's like,
so I like pled. I like pled.
It's like one of those, it's like, canceled with two L's or one L. They're both right.
Right.
Which is irritating cause they look weird. And it's like, octopuses, octopi. It's octopuses, but because for so many years people have said octopi,
cacti.
Yeah, it's just been accepted that octopi is the actual plural. So you can use, they're interchangeable, but it's actually octopuses.
I'll tell you what drives me nuts.
Tell me.
Because Dunkin' Donuts spelled it D-O-N-U-T-S.
Right.
Now,
and it's D-O-U-G-H.
D-O-N-U-T.
Yes.
Yeah, now it's acceptable to write D-O-N-U-T-S. No, you're not taking Duncan's word for it. There was a word and they spelled it cutely for their own fucking brand. And now that's okay? No. D-O-U-G-H.
I have a real issue with this because I sometimes look for the donut emoji. And I will just type out rather than like scroll through. Oh, it works both ways. Rather than just scroll through, I'll start typing out donut so I can get the chocolate donut emoji. I've just sent it to Ed because he hates emojis. And I would type it out the Dunkin' Donuts way, and it would like not call up the chocolate donut. So I'd have to go back and retype D-O-U-G-H-N-U-T. So I've been indoctrinated by the Dunkin' people, which is bullshit because That's a Boston donut shop.
Do we need to give that area more credit?
No. West Coast, we're Winchell's as featured in the widely loved.
Was that Boogie Nights?
Boogie Nights review that we did on the show where Buck Swope comes into a fortune during a botched Winchell's robbery. That's our donut shop here on the West Coast.
Of all the movie scenes where I feared something terrible was going to happen and didn't, that might be the top.
That movie is a masterpiece, and I've always loved it. But when we watched it for the show and I really had to pay attention and just listen to every word and watch every scene, and you're exactly right. The tension that's built in that scene, because it's just, there's a lot of shit going on in the movie in general.
Everyone loves Buck Swope.
He's the best, you know, except for Travis Rogers, friend of the show, Travis Rogers, who I'll quote said on this show, and I quote, Buck Swope is a loser. How do you not love Buck Swope? Pharaoh.
Yeah. He likes to pick a weaker person to pick on. Yeah. Like Daniel LaRusso, which he was a loser.
Well, Daniel LaRusso's a big whiner.
Travis likes taking somebody out.
Yeah. He hates Buck Swope. He called him a loser. Okay. Let's do a quick voicemail, a couple emails, and we'll talk about this movie and talking forever. Oh, hold on.
Dexter.
Oh my God. Hold on. We got to let him play from the beginning. Here we go.
Bri Dexter. Easy Eduardo Diario.
Whoa.
Eduardo Diario.
Edward Diary?
That's right. Anyhow, fellas, I was looking at this billboard extravaganza going on through L.A. It seems that they're launching some kind of a nastygal.com campaign.
Oh.
And I've seen this billboard numerous times, Hawthorne, San Pedro.
Oh.
Redondo Beach, etc.
South Bay. He's talking South Bay.
Throughout the South Bay. So my question to you guys is this a nationwide campaign?
No clue.
I've never heard.
Cute girl in some sunglasses, but what I noticed is
it sounds like makeup.
Maybe a midget, a dwarf, a little person, whatever the hell you want to call our brethren that is like 3 feet tall.
Yes. Or, no, we get it.
I'm not sure.
Nasty gal or nasty girl?
Anyway. I think it's nasty gal.
So it's clothing. Not a question.
Clothing, huh?
In my mind. Yeah. How do you guys feel about dwarf sex? Midget porn?
I mean,
that kind of stuff.
None of it. I'm not into it.
I mean, it's a little weird to me, man, I'll say. That anybody would first start off with the genre of filming midgets having sex. You know, dwarfs going at it. But mostly it's usually like a regular person with one of these, from what I understand. I don't know. Honestly, I've never seen a second of it, but just seeing that billboard and seeing that lady being kind of short because she's dressed all provocatively and kind of like almost teasing.
Okay, we get it. We get it, buddy. We get it.
I'm looking at Nasty Gal, and it just looks like clothes. I don't see any little people, which is the preferred nomenclature, Manuel.
Right.
I am not into or – I'm not – not into or into something based on any specific notion. I've said this before. I think that handicap or however you want to say it.
Disabled. Is, Jesus, Ed. You're trying to get us Me Too'd over here? Disabled
no, but,
is the.
Well, no, but they don't like to.
I think disabled are actually wrong now.
Challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. That challenge, I think, is amongst the cruelest, because the world is just not built for you. And there is a little person in Hoboken.
Sucks. Yeah.
And there are 55,000 people in this town. And I see this guy because he stands out because you just don't see a lot of little people.
Yeah.
And
you do.
The world is fucking tough. And it's so tough. I hope they're having all the sex they can.
Totally. I agree. So two things that I think of here. One, you bring that up to me. I once saw a little people couple jogging, and the husband, it was nice. The husband of the little people was jogging with a golden retriever, and he had the golden retriever leash, or he had some kind of harness system built in. So the golden retriever was running in front of him, and the leash was like actually tied around the midsection of the little person, and which I was like, that's pretty smart. You know, it's probably not easy to run with a golden retriever when you weigh 60 pounds, you know, it's pretty smart.
I will say, as much as I'm happy to hear people running together, like that they found love.
Yeah.
I don't like seeing couples exercise.
No, together. Couples exercise is fucking canceled. No one exercise with your partner, like everybody do exercise.
Weird.
Keep it tight.
It's weird because
try to keep it tight.
Nobody is on the same exact pacing, so you're running together. It's weird to me. No way.
I totally agree with you. 100% agree with you. No couples exercise. The other thing I thought of, and we've discussed it here on this show when we're talking about midget porn, 0% chance you'll ever catch me watching midget porn. But I have mentioned on the show the one time I was exposed to that Christmas themed porno where Santa's elf was involved. And actually, as I recall, did most of the sexing in the movie. And while a midget, little person, he had ample regular size human genitals. Like,
right. I think none of these terms are correct.
He didn't, but what I was saying is he didn't have a little.
I've seen it because in high school.
You've seen it too.
We saw some weird shit, but there are.
Was it the Christmas scene porno? Did you see it too? Because he had
I don't know the polite way to say this. So there are, there are dwarfism and midget.
That's like dwarf is what is dwarf that is guy that you see, the guy from Game of Thrones that you see drunk in the West Village sometimes.
Yeah, I saw it once upon a time.
Yeah.
But they tend to have full sized feet and equipment.
Oh,
and heads. their heads are normal. They're full size.
Right.
Midget, the term midget, yes. I am under the impression that's a Billy Barty, of everything is tiny. Like
the cock's tiny too on a midge. That's
I believe. I've never seen that, but I've definitely seen. I think it's in the same genre, the Christmas porn.
Yeah, it was a Christmas porno.
And I believe everything is working full size there.
Yeah, as I recall, I was like, "What's this guy working with?" And he wasn't like Peter North, but I mean, he probably had a bigger dick than me. Like, if I'm one to the right, he might have been two or three to the right.
Right, but he's working on a torso,
right,
much smaller, so it looks like a staggering. It's like the Nakatomi Tower. It's huge.
It's like that fat cap that I have that's just above my dick. It makes it look like my dick's a little bit smaller than it actually is. It's like that, but the opposite. He's got a miniature body surrounding an average to average plus size dong. It makes it look bigger.
Right.
It's not a bad setup, you know? Like, hey. There could be worse afflictions. That's all I'm saying. So I don't know if that answers your question, Manuel, and I'll be honest. Yeah,
I looked at the whole website. I don't see one little person on here.
Nasty Gal.
It just looks like a regular clothing. Like Nasty Gal, I thought he was talking about some sort of porn or modeling. This is just women's clothes.
Yes. I will say this. The one good thing about COVID is it stomped out the Shen Yun affliction that had descended here on the Southland, because I often have to make a trek, volunteer to make a trek deep into Los Angeles County, the San Fernando Valley. And it's a pretty long drive for me. And on that drive, I probably encounter 70 billboards. And when this Shen Yun was going on,
I think these are outdated billboards.
Yeah.
But
they're still up.
I had to go somewhere not that long ago, and I saw a good five Shen Yun.
Yeah, Shen Yun, like we're shutting down Yahweh. That's not what it's called. Huawei. Yahweh is God, and we're not shutting him down. We worship him, so we're good with him. Yahweh, we're cool with.
I'm not good with what Yahweh has put on the world this year.
Huawei, we're shutting them down. We're shutting down TikTok, but we're letting Shen Yun run fucking rampant, and it's Chinese. It's some kind of propaganda. I read a thing about it. I didn't remember.
Alexandro has a good routine on it. He's like they're. Marketing budget is limitless.
It is
limitless. I get mailers.
Yes.
About Shen Yun.
I've gotten the mailers. They have every billboard, and
not like a pamphlet. Like they'll give you like a thick stock.
Oh yeah, it's heavy
card. Yeah,
glossy. What? It's glossy. It's heavy card stock, glossy with beautiful photography. They put a lot of money into it. They have really good graphic designers.
And essentially it's Cirque du Soleil, right? It's that.
I think it's yes, but not as good. It's dancing. It's dancing. And I believe there's some
acrobatics, right?
Yeah. I think there's some type of story. I tell you what, I saw
the hardest of passes.
I saw the Cirque du Soleil, the Beatles show, Cirque du Soleil.
Yeah.
Love at the Mirage in Las Vegas.
Heard of it. I never went to it.
It's pretty impressive. And it would be more impressive if you had consumed some type of
hallucinogenic
substance, because they do crazy shit like on skateboards and stuff. It's pretty impressive. So yes on Nasty Gal, not midgets, and fuck Shen Yun. Okay. Couple of emails. Oh my God. This one's so long. Okay. I'm going to blast through it. Ballers. I can tell you it was more than a mouthful. Or just a huge shot of adrenaline when Mr. Dolomite acknowledged that the White Christmas special was a good idea. Mr. Dolomite. On 8 January 2020 podcast, Dolomite gave us the answer to a good night. As Jeopardy fans, I figured you two would have set up the question. What did Dolomite do to receive epic mouth stuff? as Ed prefers to reference oral pleasure. Did Dolomite run to the store before Christmas dinner because they were short some cream of mushroom and fried onions? Did he show up with the best bottle of liquor? This is obviously not a quicksand story. Dolomite is obviously a man that thinks of himself last. He is out to make other people feel great. Some great person recognized this and gave him some mouth stuff that every 20-something male wishes. TBLS brings some talent to the table. Even TBLS fans bring it to the table. Dolomite needs to be thrown to the front of the line to entertain other fans. Someone from within. No one asked for an entire episode. If you're taking suggestions, here is mine. I feel like there's an English as a second language situation here going. I donate $200 to Dolomite's White Christmas special. This would include hopefully a song and a 20-minute special. This can be three bottles of a decent whiskey and some good ice. One for Brian, one for Ed, and one for the man of the hour and possibly the year, Dolomite. Before the show, everyone has a decent three-finger glass of whiskey. Then a quick intro, hit a song, have a laugh for several, then get to Dolomite's Christmas special and just let him tell us what a great man he is. Well, hold on. I have a theory here. At the end of the day, the world is bullshit. You can either mope around waiting for a better day or make a fucking great day. I choose to make great days. Doom and gloom can mouth stuff Dolomite. Because this dude has a weapon of mass destruction. Let me know. I'm here every Wednesday and as always, be safe, stay healthy, and thank you for your service. You help people laugh. One of the most important stress relievers. Baller Lifestyle Fan 1 and member. So this is from that person, Fan, that suggested the Dolomite Christmas special.
This is Dolomite.
To the extent that they've actually replied to their original email, ballers, do you think you can do a Dolomite Christmas special this year? This is Dolomite.
Spend $200. $200 to give us some whiskey and yourself a bottle. I'm all for it.
Yes, fan.
That sounds like Shen Yun.
And also, he signs it Baller Lifestyle Fan 1 and member, and that's cryptic.
Isn't Dolomite the first?
He's the first Patreon. He's the first Patreon. He's the first Red Circle, Blue Square. He's the first everything.
I gotta say, in most scenarios, you would think that's a bad thing. I think it's a great thing if we've set up a universe where a super fan of Dolomite is Dolomite.
Yeah, he's secretly fanning himself.
I'm a fan too, but yes. I'm enjoying his own fandom of himself.
And yes, I agree. And also, Ed's Wall Street buddies are also fans of Dolomite. Dolomite has a following, and I love Dolomite too, but it stuns me. Oh. The fandom for Dolomite.
It's not a Wall Street. I've known this guy longer. I played football with this guy.
Oh, high school football buddy. Wow. Amazing. Okay. We'll take it under advisement, fan. Ed, another email. Heroes and Jerks is the subject. Ed, I'm only up to the mid-1840s right now, but I must say I'm not only impressed with the quality of your work, but I'm amazed at what I imagine was a ton of research that you had to do. How was he able, Ed, to compose this email with your fully engorged penis and also both of your testes deep in his gullet?
I haven't heard him say anything false.
Okay,
yes,
that's true. Okay. I am enjoying the book and highly encourage the listeners to purchase a copy, as I think the majority of them would really like it. If you've already bought a copy, be sure and keep the book in mind come Christmas time, as it would make an excellent gift. The one question I do have for you, if you had to pick a top three best and worst through all of recorded time, who would they be? Ed Daly. So your top three is obviously number three, Andrew Jackson.
Certainly, yeah, there are certainly obvious choices.
Adolf Hitler.
Hitler gets the bad rap because he's pretty fucking bad.
I know, but he built a lot of roads. I mean, he put Germany back to work, buddy.
So I'll just give you two people that stood out to me. First of all, I had heard that he was not a good guy, but my God, I had to edit down maybe three quarters of the stuff I had on Henry Ford.
Oh, he was a real piece of shit.
I mean, he was a bad dude, but like a terrible dude, like a really, really bad dude.
Yep.
And was an inspiration for Hitler. Like, Hitler had a picture of Henry Ford in his office. Like,
wow, really?
Yeah. Wow. Like, he gave him the you know, the German cross, or, you know, one of these awards. But Henry Ford talked about how bad Jews were. And then Hitler wrote about how, well, if the most successful man in the world thinks Jews are the problem, yeah, I'm kind of on board with him. So, like, Henry Ford may have played even a role in the fucking Holocaust. He's that
unbelievable.
Bad.
Unbelievable.
And I would point out, you know, in one of the earliest chapter, we didn't get a full name, but there were Homo erectus was there.
Yeah.
There was also like an offshoot called Nutcracker Man.
Oh, yes.
And it was, you know, cavemen, like to put abroad.
Yeah.
And this Nutcracker Man got a little frisky with some animals, which led to the birth of herpes.
Oh, what a piece of shit.
So, I mean, you're talking about all-time villains? Come on. 2 million BC.
Yeah.
In Tanzania. Nutcracker Man.
Do you think if he had a time machine, my buddy Paul walk off HBP would go back in time and kill not Hitler, but Nutcracker Man?
Yeah. Hey, Nutcracker Man. Yeah. I know what you're thinking. We all have needs, but this one's going to hurt society.
Yeah. Yeah. That really fucks shit up.
In terms of the good people, there's a ton, but if you look at all of the positive, major positive movements, so much started with Gandhi, who there are many critiques of Gandhi.
He was
a misogynist.
Didn't he share his bed with young girls?
He was problematic, but the peaceful protest and the organization of movements is what inspired, you know, Cesar Chavez, Martin Luther King, all these things. They kind of stemmed, the modern protest movements stem from Gandhi. So you do find people who are very problematic that their impact is massive.
Great. Amazing.
So, you know, I tried, you know, it's not a lot of words for any specific entry, but I tried to acknowledge that. Yeah, he wasn't perfect, but this, you know, that kind of thing.
Hey, yeah, you gotta get a whole picture of a person, which is important.
But the only picture you need of Nutcracker Man is he's the reason why herpes exists in humans.
That's a pretty
bad legacy. It's kind of an awful legacy.
I would agree. Luckily, that hasn't been an issue in my life.
Same with me, but it's always looming.
It could be. It's out there, dude. It's out there. You know, and if you're single and you're out there swinging it around, putting it places, you got to watch out for that. You got to watch out for the peas because it's out there. It's out and people are getting it. Okay. That was from LSU Lala, and he's sent one more email, and the subject of this email is just scoop.
Yeah. Where my ballers at? Chicken hands get the cluck and scoop it up.
I gotta be honest. I might have to retire the scoop it up song.
It's super problematic.
It's really funny because it's so over the top and ridiculous. But people, if it's like the first time you hear the show,
it's not something that
I'm good with the bit, and it's a really good song, but it's just like people that aren't in tune to what we're doing here could really get the wrong idea.
Do you know how, like, The Man Show?
Yes.
There was actually intelligence there.
Right.
And but funny points.
They're not remembered for it.
But it was also very misogynistic how it all came out. And it's like, it's tough. If you look at Jimmy Kimmel doing great things in the world.
Yep.
And then you just play a clip of his man show bit that looks just extremely misogynistic. That's kind of how that song looks for us. It's a tough one.
Yeah. It's a tough
one. I find it funny.
Yes.
But in the right context, and yeah, if somebody hears that right out of the gates, they're like, what?
And this bit was born of me offering Lori Loughlin, happy birthday, Lori, a place to stay. She'd run afoul of the law, allegedly. She lives nearby me, or at least keeps a home. She's very wealthy, has many homes. And I said, hey, Lori, you need a place to stay. I'll come by and I'll scoop it up. And you can come.
And what side did I take on this one? I was not in favor.
You're not in favor. Somebody needs a place to stay. You don't let them sleep on your couch. Yeah. You're in favor of people becoming homeless?
No. You know what I'm saying.
I'm pro Lori Loughlin. Pro Lori Loughlin needs a place to stay. She can stay on my couch with me. Ed, straight to the point. Liz Hurley or Kelly LeBrock, which 80s, 90s English sex pot are you scooping?
This
is like a Sophie's choice. This is like a Sophie's choice.
It is. Yeah. And after seeing that movie, because I had it in my head, she was just 80s hot. But no, Kelly LeBrock was the real deal.
Stunning. I was like, I was exactly like you. I'm like, oh, you know, this movie, whatever, you know, it's like a cheesy looking hot woman. No big deal. And then I watched the movie and I'm like, oh, this woman is legitimately beautiful. Like, I had forgotten, or I didn't realize at the time, what a beautiful woman she is. And she is, there's no question, Kelly LeBrock, very beautiful.
The stink of Seagal, though, and it hurts. And I know there's a stink of probably Bill Clinton. But Steven Seagal is a tougher stink to get rid of. And I am just a little bit more in favor of Liz Hurley.
So you would scoop Liz Hurley in this situation.
Yeah.
It's a real Sophie's choice. Although, if it were doing modern version, I mean, Kelly LeBrock's probably a little bit older. Elizabeth
Hurley. 10 years older.
Yeah, Elizabeth Hurley's in her 50s, and she looks incredible.
Yeah.
So I might, if we're doing modern version, I'll do Liz Hurley at their peak. I mean, it's just Sophie's choice. They're both gorgeous. Like, it's I can't really make a choice. Okay. We watched. Thank you, everybody, for reaching out. We love you guys. Mailbag at theballerlifestyle.com. 949-464-TBLS. This week, we watched the 1983 National Lampoon classic Vacation.
Summer, when you think vacation, think National Lampoon's Vacation. See the real America.
Hey, underpants. Hey, yellow.
It's friendly.
I'm okay. I'm okay.
Don't you want to look at the Grand Canyon?
It's educational.
Great.
And most of all, it's fun.
The dog went on the picnic basket.
Let Chevy Chase, Beverly D'Angelo, Mark, Imogene Coca, Randy Quaid, John Candy, and Christy Brinkley.
Well, are you going to go for it?
This is crazy.
Take you for a ride. This summer, when you think vacation, think National Lampoon's... Vacation.
Better check under the hood.
Okay. What needs to be said about Vacation?
I need 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Introduce the movie. I'll be back in 30 seconds.
Oh, okay. Take your time. While Ed goes and takes a piss, we'll talk about National Lampoon's Vacation. Came out in 1983. Everyone's seen it. It stars Chevy Chase, Beverly D'Angelo, the low-key amazing Anthony Michael Hall. Anthony Michael Hall, talk about discovering, rediscovering people. Like, he was just some kid when I saw all these movies that he's, these John Hughes movies in when I was younger. Now I watch him, and the guy is legitimately so very talented and is usually the best thing in these movies. He's there, of course, Randy Quaid, Eugene Levy. Everybody knows the story. Everybody's seen the movie. It's a road trip movie. Chevy Chase, Clark Griswold is taking his family across country. He trades in his perfectly good station wagon for a newer, shittier one, which didn't make a lot of sense to me. The family truckster. This movie came out in 1983. I imagine it was a massive hit. It was one of those movies that like everybody talked about all the time. Everybody wanted to watch. It was like a little bit dirty. That was the National Lampoon thing, right? Where
I think SNL gutted them.
Right.
Like they were a magazine and a radio show, and the who's who of National Lampoon became SNL universe.
From the Harvard Lampoon, where I believe Ed's comedy hero, Colin Jost, was the editor. National Lampoon came from the Harvard Lampoon. Let's
point to Conan O'Brien.
Conan O'Brien also, and many others. The Griswold family are on a quest to Wally World. Yeah, they're going across, they start in Chicago, and they're headed to Southern California to go to a theme park. Hijinks ensue. I hadn't seen this movie in a long time. Ed, I would like to get your thoughts overall. What did you think upon rewatching National Lampoon's Vacation?
So I have two main thoughts. I thought that there was terrific casting, and I thought the structure, the story, and some of the funny things that happened, I thought were really good. I also thought that Chevy Chase was merely a cog in the wheel, and he's not. We did Caddyshack not that long ago, and you see how he went completely unfunny after the 80s.
Yeah.
That I feel like he just was the luckiest guy.
Yep.
This is a John Hughes script.
Yep.
And there were so many good things to carry him along that when I was a kid, I thought this was great because of Chevy Chase.
Yes.
And I didn't feel that watching it now.
Yes.
I can't say it was bad, but it was, I realized it was everything around him down to the kids I thought were great. I mean, I thought it was a well-constructed movie, well-directed. But Chevy Chase was just the guy there with funny things happening around him.
Yeah, this movie does not hold up. It's not – and a lot of comedies don't. It's not really an indictment of this movie. It's just not that funny of a movie. And so, like, if you watch
– funny parts.
It's got funny parts. If you turn on Animal House right now, you will fucking laugh your ass off for the entire movie. It's holds up. It's still funny to this day. It's just as funny as when you saw it the first time. And you have a memory of Vacation being a really funny movie. And you watch it now and you laugh a couple times. But it's not like the laugh riot you're remembering from when you were 10 years old. It's just not that funny of a movie anymore. It's got some problematic parts, but for John Hughes, it's like not really that big a deal. And this Chevy Chase, just like you said, Ed, he's the luckiest guy ever to live. He's just not that funny. Like, he's just like,
you can almost tell when he ad-libbed.
Yes.
And those were not particularly funny.
No, he's really outclassed by the other actors in this movie that are just much better.
The first scene at the car dealership, he's going against Eugene Levy, who's hitting 101 on the radar.
Yeah.
Is amazing in that scene. And people probably walk away thinking, wow, Chevy was funny. He did nothing in that first scene. It was about Lou Glutz Motors.
He did kind of the sort of like spit take when he like walks up and tries to get back into his crushed vehicle. I do like the idea that car lots have actual vehicle smashers, and like you drive through the service area and it's actually a junkyard in the back and they're just recycling cars.
It's amazing with Davenport just crushing it. Yeah. And then Levy, when he's like, Wally World, very exciting, Claude. And then he's talking to, and he tries to be the take charge guy. And he's like, hey, Davenport, what happened to Mr. Griswold's car? I don't know.
Yeah,
I know what happened to it. It didn't come in. Like, he's so good.
So good. Couple questions. They set out on their, first of all, his old wagon was perfectly good. Is Clark Griswold one of these guys that like trades up for a new car every 2 years? I mean, that's just bad. That's just bad financial planning on his part.
Well, leasing wasn't really a thing back then.
No,
right?
Definitely wasn't. Also, they did that thing. And I remember because I worked at a hardware store, we would have to do this when somebody would write a check and you'd be like, can I see a major credit card? Remember that? There was like, you had to show that you were like trustworthy, and trustworthy people have credit cards. Why wouldn't you just pay with the credit card?
Yeah, I think there were major spending limits on
right.
those things.
Yeah, right. Also, like, how expensive was airline flights?
Well, he talked about the journey. I mean,
yeah, he was into it.
I've done road trips with the family. There's something to that. Like, we drove from San Diego to San Francisco.
That's a day's drive. That's one day.
No, but we stopped along the way. We did Disney. We did LA. We did these things. Yeah. So I get it, but
I mean, you didn't come to my house.
You were in Fiji or wherever you were.
Bali. That's right. Didn't work out. Also, he gets the family truckster, and there's no radio in that thing. What? How come they're singing show tunes the whole time? What's with the sing-alongs?
My parents would, I mean, not in unison, but I mean, I remember being annoyed with my parents singing along to shit in the car.
Yeah.
I've been on road trips with my family. It was not good.
Yeah. They're not good. It's a lot. I mean, if you break them up, it's not that bad. He drives from Chicago to St. Louis, and for a John Hughes movie, like, the whole sequence when they end up in St. Louis. It's
St. Louis part.
Yeah, it's problematic.
I did write down. I looked at like a kind of a fun facts about the movie. Dana Barron was 16. Mm-hmm. Anthony Michael Hall was 14. But Anthony Michael Hall, he was supposed to be the older brother. But he was going through puberty. He grew 3 inches from the beginning of production to when they did reshoots.
What?
So during the movie, he was the same height as Beverly D'Angelo. But when they reshot the end, he was like 3 inches taller than her.
Oh, that's interesting. Beverly D'Angelo is very little.
She's tiny.
I didn't realize.
I read Kim Cattrall was one of the original choices, and Maureen McCormick, Marsha Brady were they were kicked those two actresses around.
Maureen McCormick, had she been in anything?
Well, she was Marsha Brady until probably 5 years earlier, yeah. 4 years earlier.
Yeah. Beverly D'Angelo is very good in this movie.
She's good. Yeah. I mean, Dana Barron, the only thing I know her from was she was Brandon Walsh's girlfriend for five episodes or so.
Who could forget?
But Anthony Michael Hall, like we learned last week, he was great.
He's so good. He's so good in everything.
Good actor.
Yeah, he's just solid for a kid. The whole Cousin Eddie sequence, that holds up. That's pretty funny.
When young Jean, was it Krakowski?
Jane Krakowski's his daughter.
She talks about
Cousin Vicky.
I French kiss. and Audrey goes, big deal, everybody French kisses. But Daddy says I'm the best.
Yeah, that's...
My God, that is amazing.
That's classic. How old do you think these guys were? So I looked at Chevy Chase and I was like, he's about like late 40s.
Yeah, I would say he's 43.
Yeah, pretty close. He would have been when they were shooting. He would have been 39.
He was a guy who was always tanning. So he looked.
Yeah.
Leathery.
Eugene Levy was like 37. He's always been the same age. Even now, like he's in his 70s.
Yeah, he looks
about the same
for how he is now. But yeah, he was one of those guys that looked old when he was young.
Right.
Why I did have a note, the East St. Louis scene.
Yeah.
Although problematic, I liked when Rusty leaned into Audrey and said, wonder if these guys know the Commodores.
That was so funny. That was a good line.
Yeah, like very racist, but God, that was pretty fucking funny.
Yeah. I like when they go and visit Cousin Eddie and the other cousin introduces them to nudie books. He's like, I got a stack of nudie books this high. Because he didn't have video games. And then he's like...
And that kid worked in the 80s.
Yeah.
He was like an 80s kid. I don't think he did anything after then. But he was in a lot, like Silver Spoons and that kind of stuff. He worked.
Yes. Yes. He definitely did. He's a recognizable face. And then he like teaches...
Well, he goes, well, I like these magazines and all, but what do you do with them?
Right. Yeah. He's like, you ever bop your baloney?
And then they cut to Audrey and Jane Krakowski. That was pretty funny too.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but being a farmer isn't very cool, you know.
He teaches Rusty to jerk off, and then later, and I didn't notice this, but I was watching with somebody and they pointed out to me later. Rusty's like, Clark's like, be a man, Rusty. And he's like, I've only been a man for like 3 days, Dad. Cause he just learned to jack off.
That is pretty good. Yeah. And then there was a hotel scene where we see, they recreate Psycho. You do get some nudity. I remember that as a kid being a big thing.
Yeah, that was a big, big deal to us as children, those Beverly D'Angelo's
naturals,
beautiful natural breasts being displayed. She also gets them out again when they're at that Ramada Inn, and she catches Clark skinny dipping with Christie Brinkley, and then she goes and dives in the pool topless. Christie Brinkley, I remember it being just such a huge deal. Like Christie Brinkley's in this movie. You know, she's a supermodel. That had never happened before. It's very memorable.
She is ridiculous looking.
She's so beautiful. She's so terrible. She's such a bad actress. Like, it's not – her performance is lacking. Yeah,
well, they weren't asking her to do much.
Right, right. But what was she doing, do we think, driving across the plains in a Ferrari? Was that explained to us ever?
I watched with my son, and he was curious. He's like, so she's stalking them? Why is she always behind them and catching up? Like, yeah. What is going on? They didn't really get into that. I did also write down from one of those fun facts thing, the Wyatt Earp guy.
Yeah.
When they go into the old timey bar.
The bartender.
That's Richard. That's no. The guy who shows him in, and Rusty goes, that was a crummy Wyatt Earp. He's wearing jogging shoes.
Yeah.
Wyatt Earp is Richard Dreyfuss's brother in real life.
Oh, he's been in other things though. I recognized him. I feel like I've seen him in stuff. Same with the bartender.
And and well, he's like, hey, underpants, hey, tenderfoot. And then also at Eddie's place, I thought Aunt Edna is pretty amazing too.
She's good.
She's good character, like just miserable. Nobody likes her.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. There were good pieces all over this movie for Chevy Chase to, as the star of the movie, look good. But it was everybody around him, I thought, was pretty good.
Yeah. No, I would agree. The casting was good. It's just not, I don't know. You just remember things as like being so amazing when you're a kid. And then I guess the state of mind kind of helps too. Like I might've liked this movie more if I were stoned.
I watched it last night and I thought it was pretty good, but thought Chevy Chase wasn't very good. But watching with a 12-year-old, I was able to see what, right. You know, what he found funny. Right. And so, yeah, he liked it. He didn't love it like I loved it at 12, because I guess there's just, you know, right. There's more content. There's more things.
Yeah.
But he found it funny. Like, Cousin Eddie is funny for a reason.
Super funny. Well, 33 years old, by the way, Cousin Eddie.
Yeah. Well, he was always the lesser Quaid, right. In terms of looks department.
Right. It's crazy that those two guys would be brothers. I mean,
yeah.
Randy must hate Dennis's guts.
The movie The Last Detail was probably a good 8-9 years before this, and he still looked
right
40 years old. Right.
Old. Why was Christie Brinkley drinking a Löwenbräu at a truck stop? Like, that's kind of a weird.
Weird. She when they're dancing and he's eating the piston sandwiches. Sandwich,
yeah. Yeah.
Which was funny. But she's dancing around with the Löwenbräu, and there are two random guys in her car and around her car while she's dancing around.
Yeah, she's like pulling like a lot lizard move. Like, she's really like putting it out. Like, is she working her way across the country? End? Is that how she's able to gas up the Rari?
She's too attractive to be
right.
It did. Yeah. There were problems with that.
And what was her
the dinky scene with the leash? I thought was great with James Keach.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I thought he was great as the cop.
The cop. Yeah. Wait,
he was terrific.
Where do I know him from?
He's James Keach. He's the dad from Wildcats. He's Stacey Keach's brother. He's been in stuff.
Right. Because I'm like, I know that guy. That was actually a really good scene. The cop that pulls him over.
But that was one of the scenes that I could tell Chevy Chase was improvising.
And yes.
He wasn't very funny, but right. James Keach
amazing.
Playing the miserable like yes. cop who's so angry and saddened by yes. by them tying the shitty dog to the bumper. He plays it great.
Yes.
And that was a scene that comes off as funny, but it was James Keach that did it.
Yeah, absolutely. He's like, I used to have a little dog like that. And he's like, they both look back into the ether, and he's like,
poor little guy.
Yeah, he probably made it about a mile, half a mile.
and then that was pretty good when Ann Edna is like, yeah, he's been speeding like a maniac. And Rusty's like, that's not why he pulled him over. And then Clark's like, Rusty, I was driving like a maniac. And then James Keach comes back and he goes, here's the leash, sir. I'm going to go back and get the carcass.
Where are you at on the, how do you pronounce Ed?
Yeah.
Because this was pointed out to me by the person I watched it with. That Anthony Michael Hall pronounces your mom's sister. What's your mom's sister's relationship to you?
I always said aunt, but I know aunt.
Right.
I think I've known more people that say aunt.
Right.
Outside of where I grew up,
I think
aunt is probably preferred out of the country, but I always said aunt.
Definitely out of the country is aunt. People from other places definitely say aunt. I always assumed aunt was more of an East Coast thing, but everybody in the movie says aunt except for Anthony Michael Hall, who says aunt.
Oh, I didn't pick that up.
I was watching with a very close watcher, and I wouldn't have noticed that either.
Lied.
Right. Right. What else? I noticed, the mechanics.
They were pretty good when they're like, you must have shit for your brains.
Yeah. One of them was the guy from Miami Vice.
Oh, the guy with the beard worked a ton. He was in Tin Cup and all these movies.
But
he died within the last few years.
Yeah. The other guy was the partner with Zwitek, the other two cops on Miami Vice.
I didn't pick that one up.
Mm-hmm.
Benny and Edna dies, and that's pretty funny when they were deciding what to do with her, and the kids don't want to sit next to her. Rusty goes, "Yeah, we should just leave her here." And they're like, "Yeah, but how's somebody going to find her?" And he goes, "All they have to do is look for the buzzards." That's what I'm talking about. Fact that they wrote a grandmother died, and when they're searching the purse and she's got 11 cents and all those things, I found all that funny around the movie, but none of it was Clark.
Yeah. Yeah. He's just kind of makes faces and acts kind of like a dipshit, but he's not the fifth funniest thing in this movie.
I also, when Clark, the bar where he finally tries to cheat on Ellen with Brinkley,
right.
He goes and he's just prowling with anybody. He puts on the Cousin Eddie white shoes, and he's just trying to pick up every chick in the bar. And I noticed it was weird. They did this close up on the lounge singer in a pale blue tux, and I looked up. And he was Beverly D'Angelo's husband at the time. He was very odd looking. It took me out of the scene. I was like, who's this fucking guy?
The guy, guy at the piano?
Yeah. And he's got the FDR cigarette holder looking thing.
Yes.
And it looked weird. And I was like, who the fuck is this guy? Why are they zooming in on him? It was Beverly D'Angelo's husband.
Wow. Interesting. Makes sense. What is the, I believe the amusement park was Magic Mountain here in Southern California. Yeah.
Yeah. I read that. And the parking lot was Santa Anita.
Right. I was wondering about that. I was like, is that the San Diego Zoo? It looked familiar, but I couldn't quite place it. Santa Anita. That makes sense.
I also want to point out when he gets caught cheating.
Yeah.
One of my favorite scenes. Again, this is Anthony Michael Hall. When Clark is talking about, I was screaming because she was a waitress. I didn't notice her in the pool.
Yeah.
And I was shocked by that. And, you know, you get it, right, Russ? And he's like, sure, I understand. You think mom will buy it?
Yeah.
Good talk, son.
Yeah, that was funny. I don't know. It was really good to see old John Candy there at the end. Miss old John Candy.
I ran paid $1 million. That was a reshoot. That was a reshoot because originally it was closed and they were just going to drive to Roy Wally's house and kidnap him.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, they should just have fun at the park. And so they hired John Candy and he got $1 million.
$1 million bucks in 1983?
Yeah. And his the part, and that was like a day's work for him.
Yeah.
And the partner, that was the, remember the teacher from Red Dawn who just walked out and got murdered?
Yes.
The black guy was treated like a dog in this movie.
Yes.
That was the teacher from Red Dawn.
That's right. Oh yeah, totally. I remember him.
And then when they catch him, Roy Wally, I wrote this down, maybe the one of the more problematic lines. Roy Wally jumps out of the limo because they've informed him that his park has been hijacked.
Right. Goes,
what are they, Arabs?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Roy.
That's pretty good. You've hit a lot of this trivia.
Roy Wally was the guy, the toy shop owner in Home Alone 2. That's what I remembered him from.
Right. Yeah, he's got the sweet stash. Yeah, Santa Anita. What else? I feel like we hit it all. Maybe I didn't watch it in the right state of mind. It is amusing, but it just, I remember this movie being so fucking hilarious when I was a kid. And yeah, it just isn't the same.
You came in with high expectations. I think it was a well constructed road trip movie that is a bit dated, but I do think the opposite of my 80s opinion, I think it could have been elevated with a better actor.
Yeah.
Chevy Chase. And maybe part of it is I'm clouded by the fact that he's downright bad and he seems like an incredibly shitty human being.
Douche.
But he's just not that great. I didn't like him in Caddyshack when we rewatched it. I thought he was really weak.
Yeah.
But played an interesting character, the rich douche.
Right.
Who didn't care.
He's good at that.
But he's like being carried along. And people love, I mean, I watch it every year, Christmas Vacation, because it's like a fun Christmas movie that stupid shit happens.
Yes.
But once again, it's not because of him. Just isn't.
Yeah. No, it's the people around him.
And that was the last movie that he was, that people laughed that he was in. He was terrible after that.
I've long argued Fletch. You got everybody's quoting lines from Fletch. Sit down and watch Fletch right now and see how many times you laugh at that movie. It's not that funny. It's just, it doesn't hold up. It's hard. I get it, because you've already seen all the jokes. You know the jokes are coming, but there's movies that you know the jokes that are still funny, and it's not there anymore. It's just not what it was, which is, I think, a function of Chevy's. We all were sold a bill of goods on Chevy Chase, I think. Okay. Anything else, Ed?
No, that's it.
All right. I enjoyed it. Fun show. Fun movie all the way around. We'll catch up with you guys next week. For Ed Daly, I'm Brian Beckner. This has been episode 331 of the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. Oh, check out the, there's a bonus show up for you guys to listen to right now as well. We'll see you next week.
Styles Baller Podcast, getting bigger and not smaller. Broadcasting weekly, that's what we do, with Easy Ed Daily and the man Jay Stu and Brian Beckner, quick to dissect the week in sports and culture and whatever pop to you and me. Talking loud, comers, conundrums, my brothers, reviewing some movies and shows and others. Top podcast, man, no one is above us. 5-star, even the haters will love us. And we're not trying to talk politics a lot. We'd much rather talk about dicks a lot. Shit's so hot, man, you know the shit's on top. Top podcast, man, it really hits the spot. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS, the Lifestyle's Baller. And you know the show is so flawless. TBLS, the Lifestyle's Baller. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS, the Lifestyle's Baller. And you know the show is for all us. TBLS, the Lifestyle's Baller.